Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. And as you know, we've had some fantastic coaches on over the last few weeks. And going on with that theme, today we have got an absolute beauty. Played with the Melbourne Tigers. He's been coaching since 1997. He is a very well-experienced coach. He started and ended up being in North Melbourne, if I'm not mistaken, and then went to New Zealand, back to Melbourne, over to Singapore, back to New Zealand, and then won a championship in New Zealand, coming to Sydney, going to Melbourne and win another championship, a two-time championship winner, a two-time coach of the year, and an absolutely great bloke. And of course, none other than Dean Vickerman. Dean, thanks so much for joining us.
Wow, privilege to be on the show.
Jesus, sounds like he can't hold down a job with all those things he does.
Now, I do want to mention, you know, the assistant coaches in this league don't get enough respect. And so, you know, when we talk about winning two championships, I always say I won six championships because, you know, I've been part of, you know, those winning teams.
Yes.
And, you know, being an assistant coach in this league, and I love the progression of the coaches in our league right now. That a lot of them have come through being assistant coaches and done their time and now are doing, you know, doing a great job. You know, Adam Ford, you know, the most recent one as well.
Yep.
That's awesome to hear. I mean, I was lucky enough and privileged to win two championships with Gorge as an assistant coach. So I know what you mean. And for you, well, if I'm not mistaken, you've also got another two, which is New Zealand. Didn't you win a championship over there or something?
Got a championship in New Zealand and snuck in a WNBL one as well.
Right, I thought there was
Sydney
more.
Panthers.
Yep.
But, Sydney Panthers,
yeah, that was,
my
that was
God.
An awesome experience. Yeah, for the 1 year, I think they were the Panthers.
Well, you're quite right, though, Dean, because Steve Breeny always says that too. I mean, he was an assistant coach with Brett Brown when they North Melbourne won the championship in 94. He was Phil Smythe's right-hand man for four championships. So, yeah, I mean, his resume should be just as glowing as everybody else's because you are doing the hard yards on the floor with the players just like everybody else. So that was a good point. Great place to start, Dean.
There you go.
I've got a question for you, and that is that when Jock Landale at the start of the season declared that he felt that the lineup was capable of going through undefeated, how did you react to that? Did you feel he'd stuck a bullseye on United's back, or did you feel great? You know, let's embrace that pressure and try and go through undefeated.
Well, I think once he came out with it, there wasn't much choice. You know, it's not like you can't take it back or you can't do anything about it. He's come out with it, and it's like, all right, so how do we deal with this one? And you know, I think you know, we got to the point to say, yep, we put together a talented roster. You know, let's commit ourselves every practice, every game, to try and be our best. We know we're talking about something that's never been done before, and we know how difficult it is just to go on winning streaks in this league. But, you know, we started the league the right way and, you know, took some injuries and different things. But, yeah, I'm never going to muffle a player on my team. You know, when people talk, their job is to go and try and back it up. And, you know, he's done a good job so far.
Dean, I just want to ask you a quick question. When you say you put the roster together, we were having a chat with Joey Wright last week, and it was interesting when they say rosters together and we talk about GMs and managers and stuff. And back in my time, you know, a coach was employed, you pick the team, you coach the team, and you live and die by the sword. Can I ask your input? Obviously, you know, you've got a fantastic team in Melbourne. I'd love to know, because you've got Vince down there as your GM as well, is that a collaboration between the two of you? Is it, you know, how does it work? Is it all solely you? Is it all solely Vince? How do you guys go about your recruiting? Because damn, you do it well.
No, we've involved a lot of people. You know, myself and Vince are, you know, constant communicators about our roster daily. You know, and then looking, you know, longer term, what's it look like for the next year? What's it look like 3 years down the track and who's coming out of college? And then, you know, Justin Schuler, we've really put in charge of, you know, looking after the college guys and the Australians that are coming through the national team programs to really depth chart those guys. You know, Tony Ronzone, who works for the Dallas Mavericks, has been a great assistant over the last 4 years that I've been with Melbourne in looking at the, you know, US-based fringe and NBA guys in that area. And then we have different people look at different areas around the world as well. So You know, there's a lot of people that have decisions, and we also use, you know, Trent Hotton, who looks after our leadership and culture, to, you know, really look deep into a guy and find out, and, you know, are they the type of player that's going to suit me as a coach, and are they going to fit our organization as well?
Well, the roster is fantastic. So I'm thinking that perhaps dropping a game here and there is actually preferable to trying to get through. I mean, nobody wants to lose a game. Everyone wants to go win as many as possible. But I think when you lose a game, you can then refocus your group on those areas where you may have been unhappy but got away with a win here and there anyway. So I would have thought that the 10-2 record, you'd probably be happier with that, wouldn't you, than 12-0?
I'd love to be 12-0.
Mate, can I just excuse, please, Boddy, mate? He's got a bit insane. He is from Adelaide, mate. I mean, what are you thinking?
You know what I'm getting at, though, because you can paper over a lot of the flaws that your team has if it keeps winning. You win ugly, you get across the line. But once you drop a game, there's an immediate focus of, hey, we weren't expecting that to happen. And you can get them back all quickly on the same page. Bearing in mind, you haven't had your full team since about when? The first couple of rounds.
Yeah, you know, Chris played 5 games and then and he was out. And then obviously Jack White and now Hop. And, you know, other people have been carrying some things as well. So, like everybody, I'm sure with this condensed, you know, schedule right now, there's been a lot of people carrying little niggles and not practicing too much and just getting ready for games. But, you know, yeah, taking a loss, you know, obviously we had a review today of the game last night. And, you know, you look a little deeper into the things that have been camouflaged a little bit, because we haven't won that well. We've won really close games and lost really close games as well. You know, Bryce hits a massive shot to beat us with Perth, and you know, we're 4 up with 4 minutes to go last night and just didn't close out the right way, and that's something new for us. Is, you know, we've used Hop and we've used Chris to close out games. We didn't have either of those two at the end of the game last night, and we kind of lacked a true direction about how we wanted to close the game. So that's the next adjustment for us, about how you deal with that, you know, some of those, you know, key closeout guys in this roster at the moment.
That's I love hearing all that stuff about that. Can I just ask, Bubba, he's just, has he come out of nowhere in the sense of how he's playing, or is this what you see all day at training all the time? Because his energy is just infectious. And when he's playing, you guys are humming.
Yeah, no, he's been massive for us. You know, I've quoted it a few times just to say that we knew that he was going to be a good defender, and we knew the speed was elite and the athleticism was very good. You know, there was always some questions about the consistency of his three-point shot, and some of his, you know, decision-making as well needed to work on. They were the two areas that he came to us to say, if I fix these two areas, I'm a chance to go and get a two-way, or, you know, be closer to the NBA. And, you know, to his credit, he works on those things every day, but it's constant. His energy, his commitment to defense is something that we see every day. But his commitment to English is bigger. he studies every day, and he's online every day studying it. And, you know, one of the first comments, you know, I made to him, I was just like, how, you know, how's the family going? And he's like, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to talk Japanese. I just want to talk English. And I was like, probably should talk to your family still. You probably need to do that. But, you know, this is an absolute commitment to him to make sure this season that, you know, he walks away here, you know, speaking very well and understanding, you know, the basketball language and every timeout and every message that I'm trying to yell at him from the floor as well.
Who surprised you the most? Because obviously we had an expectation of Jock Landale, and he's met that. We know what Chris Goulding brings. I had the absolute confidence in Mitch McCarron and Shai Ili as your backcourt. But then you've got, you know, like Jack White, a bit of a surprise to some of us, Barber, Mason Peatling, Sam McDaniel. You've got a lot out of a lot of players, a lot more out of a lot of players than we might have anticipated. Is there any one of them that has sort of been beyond your expectations?
Yeah, and, you know, we've had to. And You know, Sam's been with us for a few years and he's never had this type of opportunity. And yes. so it's just great to see him, you know, get out there and, you know, play a consistent 15 to 18 minutes a game. And, he's such a high level defender. You know, we've put him on everybody because his body's so strong. It's, you know, go and try and go to Casper, go and try and go to Sobey, and you can use your strength on those guys and you still got the quickness and agility to stay with them. So, you know, that's been so pleasing that he's really elevated that area of his game. And I think he's still finding his way offensively. You know, he passed up a few last night where we actually need him to be more aggressive. And so, yeah, I think that one will really grow. Jack White, you know, we knew he was going to be really good. We knew he was going to be a great rim protector. I didn't know he was going to be close to best in the league protecting the rim. Mm-hmm. And then we knew, you know, his athleticism in transition and offensive rebounding were going to be key things. But, you know, he's had some games where he's won us games with his three ball as well. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, that
rebounding,
was...
The rebounding's
been... Yeah.
Big offensive rebound in one of the games, yep.
Yeah, so no, he's a great kid, and we really miss him right now.
I want to sort of change tack a little bit because if anyone's had it hard this year, Melbourne is one of them, and I'm talking COVID, right? You guys, you know, were in lockdown for a long time. You had some COVID go through the team. You then have to shift. I know Perth had to shift a little bit, but you guys, it's been really tough, and that I can only imagine what that puts pressure on a coach. Because you've got to think of everyone, not just yourself. How did you manage it? I mean, it must have been very difficult because you're in unknown charters.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when COVID first hit our team, it was horrible because, you know, firstly, you felt responsible as a coach and myself and Vince felt ultra responsible to say, you know, how did we let this in our building? Is there anything else that we could have done? You know, and we were obviously we went through all the protocols. It was just that did we have too many people at practice? And then once our players got sick and their kids got sick, and that was the part that really, you know, affected all of us to say, wow, this virus has now got to their families and, you know, everybody's affected. But it was so pleasing that the kids were so resilient that, you know, it was a 1 day, 2 day kind of hit for them and they just bounced back so quick. And but yeah, some of the training players that we had that were, you know, getting ready to go to college and then their families get sick that we, you know, we really didn't know even their families that well, but it really brought the club together. You know, we kept our practice schedule, and just did it on Zoom and we checked in with everybody. And I thought it was, you know, it was really a binding for the whole club to really pull together and help each other through that period.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Let me ask you about Scotty Hobson, and I want to preface this question by saying that I think the last couple of games where he's come off the bench, he's really embraced what you've been, you know, he's got involved, he's been active, he hasn't just sort of lived or died by his offense. He's got himself really involved in the game, so which I think is a great way to respond when you're down on form. But why is it taking him so long to be able to reproduce what he did last year in New Zealand? I mean, obviously he knows the competition. You recruited him because you know he's a quality player, but he hasn't been at that level that you would have expected.
Yeah, that's a good question, the why. You know, he obviously went to and played in G League after the season, so, you know, it's not like he didn't continue playing the game. I think... Obviously, with our roster was, and he was the man in New Zealand, and that was your role. Now you've got Landau and you've got Chris Golding, and sometimes that can, you know, take its little bit of time to just sort out. It's like, you know, am I the man right now? Is he the guy? And so I think that little puzzle, you know, over the last few years, you know, with different guys, it's taken their time to kind of find their way, pick their moments in games. Am I the closer? You know, who's it going to be? And so I think, yeah, that puzzle just was kind of sorting itself out, you know, before he got injured. So, but his attitude was amazing the whole time. You know, he copped a lot of criticism from different people about his performance, but he's like, I just want to win. I don't have enough winning on my resume. Whatever you need me to do to win. And that's the greatest thing I love about him.
Yeah, well, you know, at least when he was getting criticised, he wasn't going down to Krispy Kreme's or down the pizza bar as, you know, one of the other imports that's been struggling a bit. At least he was doing the right thing.
I'm not sure what his vice is.
Body loves talking about donuts on this thing, and it's not just donuts of score. Mate, I just wanted to ask, the big show, the NBL Cup, how much do you guys, like, are you focusing in quarters, you know, like, guys, we're down two, up two, down three, whatever it may be? Because, like, is the 150,000 that is on offer, are you guys going all after that? Or is that, nah, we just take care of what we're doing and see what happens? Or what's the focus?
Yeah, I thought in one of our earlier games we did a poor job. You know, we spoke about it, we didn't actually manage it that well. And so I think after we had a win and we might have come out with 4.5 points or something like that, and we left a couple of points out there. And so, you know, since that time, we've really put it on Reece Carter and DMAC to continue to make sure that all the information that we need is getting through to me and the playing group. What's our fouling situation? Have we got something to give? Do we need a two or a three? Is there someone on the bench that can help us more in the last 30 seconds? And so we've done a better job. Even the second quarter last night, we were down 16-17 or something like that in the game. But, you know, we needed a three at halftime to get a half point. Mitch McCarron comes up with a big three. And so, but everybody knew, and that was better than we'd done in an earlier game where they didn't have that information. They didn't know where we sat. So yeah, it is. It's massive. We're trying to win every quarter.
Great.
That was a good question and a good answer, because I've been curious as to whether the focus really is on NBL Cup or whether you're just looking at these are games towards the regular season and where we finish. So that's been a curiosity, because sometimes I think coaches haven't been completely aware of it. So it's good that you got your team working on it. You got Phoenix next, right?
Correct. Wednesday.
Do you expect
throw down number eight and seven? I'm not sure what it is, but throw down something.
Oh, don't worry, we'll throw down something.
We will.
But do you expect them to suit up Ryan Brokoff?
Oh, yeah, I just saw social media today and saw that he's had his first practice today and looked like he was shooting the ball pretty well in the small clips that they showed of him. So, Kiefer Sykes, early preseason, come out of quarantine. I think he played a couple of days out of that. So, highly expect him to be out there. And I think there could be some more as well. Like, I don't think Dane Pinot's too far away. Right. Gibbo, you know, where Sykes at? So, yeah, they could add three or four to their roster for this game. Yeah. So, a little bit of the unknown.
How far away are you from getting Hobson and White back?
Yeah, I think they're both close to 3 weeks from now. So, yeah, it'll be a while before we get those two there.
Do you want to talk about that foul that took White out? Did you think
not really? Like, okay. You know, I didn't. You know, it's what we've put out there right now is to say, if we're really playing every quarter and every possession, and that's what I like about the NBL Cup. Every quarter is the fourth quarter, and so you're preparing, and it's great for a coach to, you know, what plays can you do in the full court? What do you got to try and get a three? And so that adds a little bit more to your coaching, I think. But what we've always enjoyed as Aussies, I think, is, you know, you don't dribble out the ball. I don't think that's very Australian. You keep playing every possession. And I think that's where we're at right now is with this competition, is that every possession is important. So, you know, I have no malice at all about, you know, him going after a block shot on a dunk in the last seconds of the game. That's, you know, what we've put out there. You know, was there heavy contact? There was contact in the air. But, yeah, he certainly, you know, didn't mean to have any malice.
And that's great to hear you say that, Dean, because you could easily go either way. So that's true character. And you know what? When I think about that, that's just what your club is. I love that. That's just great. So great answer, mate. We throw a few players at the coaches that have been coming on, and we're looking, whether it be like a one word, one sentence, just about these players. So I'm going to start it off, and these are guys that have been very much part of your journey. I think next year it's 25 years of coaching, mate. So congratulations to you starting in 97. But the first player I want to throw out to you, Mika Vekona.
Warrior. I called him the other day about retirement, and it was a pleasure to coach him. And but no one else you'd rather have on your team in a big moment, because he's going to make something happen.
Yep. All right, I got one for you. It's the same name, but twice. Leonard Copeland, his first training with Melbourne Tigers. Leonard Copeland now.
Well, he told me he drank beers before that practice.
Of course he did.
But he thought I was a starting point guard that day, so that was a good practice for me.
So just for our rumors, just so for all our listeners out here, Dean went to absolute work on Copes that day, right? So I think from what I understand is you didn't miss a shot and you torched him. Is that right? Fair to say?
Yeah.
He just didn't know about those Albert Park backboards that you could just throw it anywhere on the board and it would catch it. The Leonard Copeland of now, like, I absolutely love my year experience, you know, with Julian Copes in Sydney. It was the most hilarious, you know, coach conversations, how those two bounced off each other. And I'm so glad they're doing commentary again.
Yes.
You know, right now it's great for the league.
It was classic. They're great. Mate, Cedric Jackson.
Ced was one of the ultimate competitors. I think it was either today or yesterday. It was 6 years ago that Akene hit that shot. I think it was, it was on the 8th.
I remember that.
You know,
yep.
to win the championship. Ced made a great pass. But, yeah, every day his intensity was crazy at practice. And he would be tough on guys. And I think every second practice at least, we would sit down together, grab a chair, let's have a chat about the things that happen. You know, does he need to go apologize to someone? How's he going to work with someone? It was just, you know, he was hard to manage, but it was all coming from the right place because he just wanted to win every possession.
That's great.
Mitch McCarron.
Mitch, like, you know, I'm so glad we found him a true position. You know, yep. It was like he could have gone his whole career being one of the best utility guys to ever play in our league. And then now he's found, I'm a point guard, you know. Yeah. Now I'm going to learn that craft, you know, for as long as they can. And I hope that's the position that he plays for the rest of his career. So, you know, but his plus minus is always off the charts. He just does so many different things to impact the game.
One that everyone knows, but I'm interested because you've had so much to do with him, Chris Golding.
The first thing that comes to mind when thinking of Chris is everybody's perception of him before they join our club. You know, Alex Pledger was a classic. It's like, you know, I see this arrogant kind of guy. But then he's with us and he's like, wow, this guy's amazing to be around every day. And, you know, it's so different. So I always love that, how people perceive him from the outside to what they see once they get in there, because he sees everything. And, you know, all the information that he gathers about how people walk into the gym, how people react, and he has all this information, and he's done a much better job, you know, over the past couple of years of just, do I go directly to that guy? Do I go to the coach? How do we use that information? But, you know, he's a true two guard. There's, you know, every shot he has a great chance of going in, and he believes the next one's going in, and that's exactly what you want from those guys.
Brilliant.
Got Andre Lemanis. Which is a particularly topical in the light of the last game, but I'm thinking the whole journey, actually.
I love that, you know, he was the accountant and then he became the basketball coach. You know, I don't like this PwC thing. I'm getting out of this industry. I'm going to become a basketball coach. And now he's got this calculated approach to basketball, but then he's got this kind of crazier side where I'm going to disrupt, I'm going to do all the, you know, different things to mess up the game and stuff like that. So, you know, he's been amazing for me in how much he taught me about the game and in the style of play that he's come up with that's, you know, pretty much been branded over Australia in different ways. I thought he did an amazing job with the Australian team as well.
Dean, we could sit here all day, mate. You have, but I know you're a very busy man and we cannot thank you enough for joining us. We wish you the very best in the rest of the cup, obviously. We hope you guys can get up and win that. And also we wish you the very best for what Jock Landale says will be no more losses, mate. So we can't thank you.
I tried to pass it off once there to say, oh, yeah, we won every preseason game. We're good.
Mate, thank you so much. And, of course, we wish you all the best and really appreciate you joining us.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Body, I'm just loving working with these coaches and having chats with them. It was absolutely brilliant, and that was another good one. And you know what? They're giving up their time. We don't earn money for this. There's nothing in it. They don't have to do this. It's just so nice of them to do it. And yet again, what a great guy. And
you know what though? I think the amount of times we've plugged Krispy Kremes on here, it's about bloody time they came through and started sponsoring.
Hey mate, I'm watching. I'm watching you live as I do this because we do it over. Mate, speaking of donuts, mate.
I'm in the best shape of my life, cut it out.
Of course you are.
Hair is a shape.
All right, we're moving on. And what are we going to start with? The big show.
Well, it's a big show. Oh, it's a big band show tonight.
Well, there you have it. Of course, the big show. We love it. And it's the NBL Cup. It's been absolutely brilliant. There's another week to go. Leading at the moment with 29 points, 29 and a half points, that is, Perth. And coming in second, who would have thought this? Brisbane Bullets, body, 25 and a half.
Yeah, that was quite a week from them. They had three games. And it didn't start all that promisingly, did it, when they got knocked off by New Zealand and some pretty ordinary decisions made by a couple of the players that were in foul trouble. Not all that sensible, but then to come out and beat the defending champs,
and then back it up
against the title favourites, it's like, oh, okay, let's sit up and take notice. I got to say, Cal Bruton said to me a couple of weeks ago on a different program that he liked Brisbane as the team that might sneak into the four.
Run stun and have some fun. God, you got to love Cal.
I scoffed, mate. I was scoffing.
Well, and, I agree. I'm with you. I didn't see this. No, it was great. But anyway, I'll go through the other wins, of course. Perth by one against Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Cairns beating the Kings. Well, we didn't expect that, body. We were 0-3 by then. And then Illawarra beating Adelaide. Well, that was correct. Like you said, Brisbane getting Perth. I thought Melbourne United New Zealand game was pretty good. It was the Webster boys doing it again.
Yes, it was.
But I thought they were great. I will touch on that very quickly where, you know, half the shots are coming from the Webster's boys, and I counted in one set there,
more than half.
That their point guard dribbled 24 dribbles before a pass was made.
I think he only missed about 16 of the floorboards. He got every one of the others.
Adelaide beating Cairns.
That was a really good performance. Because we dismissed Adelaide last week after their performance.
Correct. Isaac Humphries. Good point.
That was a very, very good performance. And if you're a 36ers fan, you'd take great heart from that, knowing that Brandon Paul's not very far away from suiting up. So I think they're probably in a more comfortable place than they were this time last week. That's for
good point. The Kings, that was a good win against Phoenix. They needed that. That was a good win.
Yes.
And the last one, well, we said about Melbourne losing to Brisbane, but the last one, we picked Perth, but not like that. Perth were clinical over Illawarra. Yeah. Absolutely clinical.
Yep.
Brilliant game, and geez, man, John Mooney's just getting better and better. What else did you see, mate?
Well, I did see anguish on the face of Brian Gorgian at trying to basically understand how the game is being refereed at the moment. I think that's it. I mean, if he could get what they were actually doing, if there was some level of consistency, then he could probably make the adjustment. But I think he was really struggling with the way that game was called. Not that that in any way influenced the margin, because the margin in the end flattered Illawarra, I think. It came back to 17 or something. It didn't look too bad, but they were getting flogged, and Perth was playing some of the best basketball we've seen them play since they won the championship. So and I'm hearing on the grapevine, not far away from Bryce Cotton becoming a pie-eating, Vegemite-loving Aussie. So another import.
Who would you go for? If you had an import, if you're Perth, where do you go? Four spot?
Yes, I think the only place that they couldn't replace Nick Kay. They did a great job of replacing Plumlee because
he's an upgrade.
Way better. Oh yeah,
he's an upgrade. Yeah, he's great.
And as I've said before, I think they had already made the adjustment to life without Damo last year because Damo just had a chunk of that season. So really the and Blanchfield, as I've said before, he substitutes Tarico White. That's fine.
Man,
so where didn't they get
awesome, buddy? Yeah. He is playing awesome. I'm loving him.
So where did I hurt? It's with Nick Kay. He's the one guy they haven't replaced. So you put him in there. Now you've got someone to go up against Jack White while Mooney's going up against Landau. You know, if you're sort of looking at the United Perth matchup or any of the others,
They're out in front now. Melbourne and Perth are way out in front, and I'm not talking on the ladder. I'm just talking in the in the game. I still think Illawarra will come good because I know how Gores trains people and the fact that he's done. Adele's really worrying me. But I don't know, that last single
was terrible.
Yeah, that was.
I did like the Bond theme though. Skyfall.
Are you saying hello from the other side?
Jeez, sometimes we just waste the listeners' time, don't we?
What do you mean, sometimes?
But you've just said Melbourne and Perth, and then the pack. But then bear in mind, their last two games were losses to Brisbane.
So Brisbane's stuck in the four now. So Brisbane are in the four. So the top four now: Melbourne, Perth, Illawarra, Brisbane. They're all clear. So Brisbane's 7 and 6. Then you've got Adelaide, who have played two more games, 7 and 8. Sydney, Southeast Melbourne. That's the one team.
They're the ones, yeah.
Yeah, because you know,
broke off in there.
And you listen to Dean Vickham, and he was like, yeah, and they're going to get Sykes back, and Gibbo's not far, and you know, then they've got Pinot. So
that's four quality players. Sykes, Gibson, Pinot, and Ryan Brokoff. That's four potential starters.
Kings have still got some players to come back, but not at that level.
No, they're not going to make it. They're playing some good basketball, but they're going to be, I think, in that middle third. And originally, I had them in the bottom third.
Mm.
So,
what about Geordie Hunter though? How good has he been? What about that dunk he did the other day?
That was unbelievable, wasn't it? Yeah, he's off balance, caught it. I'm still putting this in. Yeah,
that's great. Good. All right, come on, give me your Nodge Nasty.
Well, I'm just disappointed. This is more a disappointment that the Players Association that looks out for the players hasn't been a little bit more on the front foot, a little bit louder, and a little bit more. Just getting behind the players over this decal issue. We've mentioned the decals ages ago. We've talked about it enough. It's become a topic all around the place. Great. And I don't want to keep harping on it, but I do think that it's up to the Players Association to come out a lot stronger than what they have been. Makes me wonder whether you don't need an active player to be the president. That's it. Let's move on. What is your Rosen Rattler?
Well, I'm going for Brisbane for my Rosen Rattler. I said at the beginning of the year, and I've said it a number of times during the year as well, that I don't think Brisbane have got enough. And the change for me, and I've got to give credit to Andre Lemanis and the coaching team, but the biggest change for me was when Matt Hodgson joined that team. I'm not saying he's the one.
He was there last year, don't you?
Yes, but I'm saying came back this year, right? So I just think he has just changed. Sobey's gone to another level, and the best thing for Sobey was no Lamar Patterson. Right, that's just out. Just let him have the ball. He is orchestrating that team beautiful. Vic Law is a great.
I think the best thing for Lasobi was leaving him out of the Boomer squad. Has that pissed him off.
Yeah, but I'm just really enjoying watching the Brisbane Bullets play. And I think, and that's what I'm saying. My rattler is, you know, I've given it to them a lot this year, but you know, credit where credit's due. I think they're playing fantastic.
All right, that's about a wrap, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I just want to let all our listeners know this is the last round so it's round 9 coming up, and very quick, buddy, I'm just going to get you things. New Zealand Cairns.
Oh, God. You say very quick, and now I've got to try and give a quick answer.
Come on, first one.
New Zealand.
I'm going Cairns. Phoenix, Melbourne, with a Brokoff. I'm going to assume he's there.
Phoenix.
Yep, I'm going Melbourne, even with that. Bullets, yep. Adelaide, Bullets for me. Who you got?
Yeah, no Bullets.
Kings Illawarra.
Oh my God. I'm going to go for Illawarra, but I'm not confident.
Yeah, I'm with you. No, they'll come up for that. I can't see it. Perth versus New Zealand. Perth. Get it. I'm like Cairns versus Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. After that second game, this will be a good one. Bullets versus Kings.
Bullets.
I'm going Kings. Yeah.
No, because every round we have one that we didn't expect or two that we didn't expect, and we've gone for the more predictable one. So I don't know.
Fence sitter. Illawarra versus Melbourne.
Melbourne right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. New Zealand versus Phoenix. Wow, Phoenix, three games this round.
Yeah, I think Phoenix.
Yep, I agree.
I think this round sort of straightens Phoenix back up on the ladder.
Perth versus Adelaide, Perth to win. So just for our listeners, yes, this is the last round. Round 10's out now, so look into your city because there's now home and away. So I know round 10, Friday, 19th of March, the Kings play Melbourne at Kudos. So Sydney get games, Melbourne gets games, Brisbane are back. I think there's one in Perth, so it's nice our crowds can get out there. Boddy, thanks, mate. That was a fun little segment. Thank you, everyone. And of course, as as we sign off. We'll see you next week. Mate, are you seriously saying you don't like basketball?
No, I love basketball. Two games every night. Mate,
you don't like the Cup?
No, I do like the Cup, but I just want a break. I want to watch some Vikings. I want to watch the crap. Did you see that show with
on Netflix? You're getting old, mate. You are getting old.
That bird that was, you know, the chess master. That was good. You know, the way she played. Did you see that series? That was fantastic.
No, I don't, because I was watching the damn basketball.
Well, I like to read a book too now, man.